and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hey, we're in this new series starting the year, and we've called it New, and it's awesome. It's great because I think in our day and age, we all actually like new and we like change. I think there was definitely a time and a season and a generation that was kind of fearful or hesitant of new and of change, right? But I think maybe it's because of the rapid acceleration in technology and in our society and in industry, we've actually really grown accustomed to new, right? Things are changing all the time. And dare I say, I think we actually like new. I think we actually desire new and get really restless and fed up with the old. Like, there's a new iPhone that comes out every 2 years, and there's phones coming out every couple of months, and each, you know, company is trying to outdo the last with the new features, a new camera, a new battery, a new way of, you know, messaging with your friends. Like, it's always new, and we get kind of a bit upset if there isn't as many updates from the last one. We go, come on, Apple, like, that wasn't not much of a jump up, you know, or our favorite Netflix show, right? I know there's so many people in here that get restless when it's like a mid-season break between their favorite show on Netflix. It's a real thing. The struggle's real, you know, or it's like it's still making its way over from the US. It's not yet released in Australia, and some people go to great lengths to get that and to watch it, and be maybe some illegal lengths that you shouldn't be going to. But look, I'm not gonna say anything else about that. But we actually like new. We desire new in our life. We get restless with the old. Who would like new? A new car, a new house, right? We all like new. Like, so, but the good thing is that it's even better than a new iPhone, even better than a new, your favorite TV series coming out with a new episode, is that the Bible says that God wants to do a new thing. And not only does he want to, but he is. Whether we like it or not, God is doing a new thing, which we've based this series around. And in Isaiah 43 verse 19, the Bible says, God's saying here, "Behold, I do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Or, "Do you not perceive it?" God's saying, hey, I know you like new things, but even more than you, I like new things. I want to do a new thing in your life. The Bible talks about new and greater moves of God. Oh, it talks about a new heart, talks about new wine, talks about a new mind, talks about a new spirit, talks about a very new life. God is saying, I want to do a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. More than all those other things, I'm doing a new thing. And do you perceive it? So that's good news, right? Better than all those other things, God, our creator, wants to do a new thing in your life. He wants your 2019 to be new. That's good news. And so, Isaiah 43, "Behold, I do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, it seems that our desires are not too much for God, but too little. You'll never outdream God. He does more than you could ask, think, or imagine. You can never outdream God. There is a new thing that you can't even perceive right now, but he's doing a new thing in our very midst. So I've called my message, "New Me, New Year." Okay, and you might be like, "Whoa, so close, Chris. You were almost cool. You almost said it right." It's actually "New Year, New Me." But that kind of holds a little bit of validity, I think, but we kind of get it a bit twisted. The fact that it rolls around 12 a.m. on the 1st of January 2019 actually means nothing. Doesn't mean anything's going to change. The fact that I've signed up for the gym on January 2nd doesn't actually mean that much is going to change. That we can't just wait on a year to do it. It's not a new year that gives me the right or now empowers me to be a new person. It's actually a new you, a new person on the inside that allows you to walk into a new day and the new day that God has for you. And it's not about what. See, we think, oh, a new year, I'm going to do different things. That's the first thing we think about. Oh, go to the gym, go to bed earlier. Like, we think about what's, right? But the thing about what's and changing what we do is that those what's are reversible, number one. And they're also, the what's of our life, we've got to have some grace for ourselves. Life changes, and we've got to change with life. And sometimes the what that we have chosen to do just isn't going to fit right now without causing us a like a midlife crisis or something. You know, you gotta have a bit of grace for yourself. You know, like it's not about what, it's about who. God isn't interested so much in what you're gonna do, because at the heart of the matter is who you are. So God is focused on who you are. So it's not a new year, a new me, it's a new me that walks into a new year this year. So the first step is we've got to get rid of the old. You've heard the saying, out with the old, in with the new. It's the same with us. It's out with the old. See, if we try and walk into tomorrow, our future, without confronting, coming face to face with, dealing and resolving yesterday, yesterday will always overrun our tomorrow. If we walk into tomorrow without dealing with yesterday or dealing with even today, yesterday and our past will always overrun our tomorrow. We'll find, why am I going into this next relationship and the same thing happens? Why am I going into this new job and I'm having the same problem but with a different boss? The things of the past will always overrun our future if not dealt with, if not resolved in the right way. Have I got any gardeners in the house? Anyone like to garden? One, two, three, four. Great. Four people. Now, there's a few people here. You guys, I take my hat off. My wife and I do not count ourselves a part of that illustrious group of gardeners. We don't have the knack for it. We don't have green thumbs. But in saying that, we endeavored in the middle of last year to do some gardening, some big gardening, not just pulling out some weeds, but some big gardening. And so I think we've got a photo. This is our house, middle of last year. If you rocked up to our house, you'd kind of go, is that a house or is that the national park? Like, I'm not too sure. There is a house behind there. That is our house. And the people before us, they loved these trees. That's why they put them in there. They weren't really our thing. We had a bit of a list of a few things we wanted to do to our house. The garden was one. We also had no idea how to work with that, or how to cut things back and how to work with those specific trees and all of that. So we're like, do you know what we'll do? It'll be a lot easier. Let's just put some nice hedges in, right? Let's just put some nice hedges in, low maintenance. It works with us and it'll look really neat. And that'll be the first kind of thing. So we got over some great help. We enlisted the help of family, who loves their family in times like that. Am I right? I had nephews and nieces walking around with, you know, saccateurs in their hands and stuff. It was a great kind of stressful time. And so we didn't just put the hedges in. We had to get rid of the stuff that was already there. We had to get rid of the old, right? So we did this over a couple of days. We filled like two skips. And then we've got to the next photo. It's 3D. It's not just one. It was two rows of this thing. Crazy fences, all that. Next photo ended up like this. Not too bad, hey? Burke's backyard up here. Who's the other guy, the really muscly guy that everyone really liked back in the day? Jamie Jury. I was Jamie Jury that day. Yeah. Isn't that right, babe? Jamie Jury. So it turned into this, which is good. But what we found over a period of time, a couple of months, and I don't want to name any names here, but there might have been a certain group of people that we enlisted the help of that didn't quite adequately get rid of the old stuff and some of the old plants and old weeds and really got to the root of everything. And but I'm not complaining, because, you know, free help, it's all good. And you weren't even the one, Dad. You and me were tag teaming. Yeah, never mind. We were good. So, but what happened is, if you go to the next photo, down the side of the house where we planted all this nice stuff, all the old plants and a lot of weeds, that up there is just like one massive weed, like just one big scary weed. It's crazy. But that's the thing. If we don't deal with the old stuff, the stuff that's already there, it will always overrun. Doesn't matter how good it looks, doesn't matter how amazing the new thing we do is, how hard we run into this year. If we don't deal with yesterday, if we don't deal with the past will always overrun our tomorrow. The weeds of yesterday will always overrun the new thing we're planting and trying to do in it today, right? So we need to deal with yesterday. I might get that pulpit back up. Sermo, who loves Andrew Sermon? You're doing a good job. Someone really loves you. So it's out with the old, right? We'll always be taking, the thing is, we'll always be, if we don't resolve that bad attitude or that character flaw or that sin or that train of thought, the way we've been thinking or the way we've been doing relationships, if we don't deal with that, we will always, it will always overrun our tomorrow. We'll always take over tomorrow. We need to first deal with the past. We need to first deal with that. But the good thing is that there's always a fresh start with God. In your life, tonight, tomorrow, in a year's time from now, there is a fresh start for you. God's hands are open to you tonight. No matter what you've walked through or how you find yourself right now, there is a fresh start. We read in Proverbs 24:16, amazing verse. It says, "For the righteous falls seven times and rises again." That's crazy. The righteous, meaning the right with God. Aren't we perfect if we're right with God? No, no, no. The right with God will fall. We'll all have times where we fall short, where we blow a fuse and we get too angry, where we have a really jealous thought towards someone, where we mess up in a we say something we shouldn't, or we mess up in a relationship. There will be those times where we fall, but it says the righteous man rises again. Even if you fall down seven times, on the eighth, there is always opportunity for you to rise again. If you fall down 70 times, just stand up 71 times and you'll be right. Dust yourself off and walk on. You might be really bad and you might fall 7,000 times. Just get up 7,001. There is always a fresh start for you and I. And Lamentations tells us why. It says, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's not a good line. That's the truth. His love towards you never ceases. Nothing can separate you from His love. Not height, nor depth, nor life, nor death. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. His mercies never come to an end. Never. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. It's amazing. His mercies are new for you every day. That's why Ephesians 4:22 says, put off your old self. So that old way of doing your life, that thing that you've been messing up in, do you know what the gospel says? Throw it off. Throw off your old self like an ill-fitting garment. Throw it off. Throw off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. We're going to come back to that in a moment. The spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self. You can put on a new self. There is a new you. There 100% is a new year, new you for this new year, right? Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Ezekiel 11:19 says, God says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and I will give them a heart of flesh. There's not these two things going on and the past just sticks around. Now God says, I'll remove the old. I'll remove the old heart and give you a new heart. There is a new heart filled with new desires that you can walk into this year. So if we need to deal with this old us, how do we do it? How do we deal with that attitude that we have? How do we deal with that sin that we have? How do we deal with that habit that we have? How do we deal with that wrong mind frame that we find ourselves in? Because we need to do it or it's just going to keep catching up to us every moment of our life. There's a few simple ways and basically it's come to God. The new year is not giving you any opportunity for a fresh start. The gym is not giving you any reason for a fresh start. God gives you a fresh start. God's mercies are new every day. So we come to God to deal with our past. You can't outrun your past. You can't do like 1,000 good deeds and that means your past is washed. God washes away your past. God forgives your sins. It's Him. Don't think for a moment like, oh, you did something and it's all right. God might have not seen it. I'll just do better next time. It's okay. Deal with yesterday. Deal with the past. So it will always overrun your future. So we come to God. And one of the most important prayers that we can pray to God is, God, search my heart. It's come to God regular basis. Do you know what? We just didn't clear out the garden once. I have to quite regularly get down on my knees and pull out weeds. And they're not even old weeds. They're new ones. Where did these come from? Did like someone through the night just like dropping weeds in my garden? Like, where do they come from? I don't know. But I have to consistently pull out those weeds that grow, so too with our life. There are things that we need to deal with on a daily basis, and you need to deal with it or it will overrun your future. There's one thing stopping you from who you're going to be, and that's who you are if you don't deal with who you are right now and the things in your life right now. So we come to God, we say, God, search my heart. If there is anything in me, David says secret sins in the Psalms. How crazy is that? Sins that maybe we don't even know about. Sins that maybe I know about, but someone else doesn't know about. And it looks like I'm doing good, but it's there. Deal with it. We come to God and we say, God, search me. If there is anything in me, not of you, that's hurting you, that's not doing right by you, by others, or by myself, show it to me. And he will. Trust me, he will. Right now you could do it. You could close your eyes and say, God, search me. I promise within a few moments, as you just wait, something will come to mind. And maybe there is something that we know. Or maybe there's something in that moment that comes to mind. We then go to God and we say, God, forgive me. And I repent. Forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry that I got angry. I'm sorry that I said that thing to that person. I'm sorry for that jealous thought. I'm sorry for doing that. I'm sorry for keeping that from you. Forgive me. And Lord, I repent, which is an old school term which basically means to turn away from. I was doing this, and now I'm doing this. That's what repenting is. God, I ask you to forgive me, and I repent. I turn away. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do it your way. I want to go your way. Part two to that is we forgive other people, even if they haven't asked for our forgiveness. The Bible says, Lord, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. The most powerful, one of the most literally powerful secrets, it's not really a secret, I'm telling it to you tonight, but it's kind of a secret because not many people know about it. In your life, for you to live the life that you've been called to and not be dragged down by everything is the ability to forgive other people. Even if they haven't asked you for forgiveness. One of the most powerful prayers that I was taught by Pastor Andrew and Pastor Gordon is to pray, Lord, right now I forgive everybody, everything. Everybody, everything. That person at work that said that, my spouse for saying that or doing that right now, I forgive them. I forgive them. Lord, that word that someone's saying or that sort of chaos that someone's brought into my world that I really could have dealt with not having right now, I forgive them. So we ask God to forgive us and we forgive other people. And then we ask God to help us, to lead us, to strengthen us, to guide us in the way that we should go. Lord, I don't want to do it this way. I want to do it your way. So show me, strengthen me. Holy Spirit, lead me to life and peace, as the Bible says. Lord, help me to do this. And the last thing we do, which I don't think we can miss this a little bit, is have relationship with other people. At least one other person in your life that you can go to. I've got one that you can go to and you say, I've been dealing with this. Or I was dealing with this and then I prayed and it's all good, but I wanted to just be accountable to you. I just wanted to tell you. Or James, I've been thinking this about myself and just really feeling about this, about my work and about my worth or whatever. And James can say, that's not the truth. That's a lie. This is the truth. And we can lift each other up. We can encourage one another. This power in relationship, one of the best commitments we can make this year is to have people in our world, relationships in our world that we can encourage. And then we can encourage other people. You might be doing great, but then that person that you catch up with might not be. You know, some of the most biggest moments in my life and life-defining moments have been from these moments where I've allowed someone a voice into my world that have encouraged me and have directed me and have helped me. My life was literally turned around the moment I rededicated from a relationship like this. Someone coming into my world and going, I see that your life's going this way, but it could go this way. You know, one of the most defining moments for me was just something like that. It was outside of church. It was just a relationship that I had. So those four things, we need to come to God. We ask for him to search us. We ask for forgiveness. We forgive other people. We ask him to show us and lead us. And then we do it together with other people, with relationship. And the second part to this, obviously, we've gotten rid of the old. So it's time for the new. It's in with the new. Colossians 3, verse 9 to 11. It's a great verse. And I want to just split it up. And we'll talk about two really important things out of this verse. It says, You have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed. So just park it there. You have put on the new self and you are being renewed. Do not be mistaken. The moment that you give your heart to Jesus, the moment you ask Him into your life, you are made new. The old has gone, the new has come. You're a new creation, actually with a new spirit and new life on the inside of you. Do not be mistaken. But then a process from that moment on is this process of renewing and transformation. And we're being renewed in our life. And we're going to talk about what that is a little bit. But Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to how the world's doing things, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Appropriating transformation. We are saved, but we go on this process of appropriating this new life, these new things of the kingdom, which James is talking about, this new life that we now have in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. I wish it said we are all being transformed overnight. We are all being transformed in a microwave. But that's not what it says. It says one degree of glory to another. There has been moments in my life where God in a moment has pulled me out of things or led me out of things. And that's just His grace and His mercy and His love. But our process, our journey with Jesus is a one degree by degree transformation that happens in our life. Don't get frustrated with the process, because I tell you, the person you are today is stronger than yesterday. The person you are tomorrow is going to be even stronger. You know, I was speaking to my wife about this, so I can say it, but I am a better husband, if you're wondering, than I was 5 years ago, not because I did different things, but because I've changed who I am, because I've become a different person, not because I read this book and it said just do ABC and that equals this. No, I actually had to become a different person. I had to become a more selfless person. I had to become a more gracious person. I had to become a more patient person. It's about who you are, not just what you're doing. And that who is a process. That who is every day by every day. Don't get frustrated with the process. So Colossians 3:10 says, we were reading it before, but the second half, it says, you've put on the new self, you're being renewed. But it says you're being renewed in knowledge according to the image, or that word image means pattern, of your Creator. Okay? So you are being renewed in knowledge according to the pattern of your Creator. Okay, so what that's saying is that there was an original pattern, an original image that God created us in, and not just physical image, but a relationship with Him. When God created man, He created Adam and Eve, and they walked in perfect relationship with Him. They walked step by step, side by side with Him. And they knew perfectly who God was, and they knew perfectly who they were. But when sin came in, when Adam and Eve, when they both sinned, in that moment, their relationship with God was fractured, their image of who He was fractured, and their image of who they were was fractured. All three of those things. We can pick it up. Sorry, media guys, I didn't give you this one. But in Genesis 3:10, Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself. I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. They'd gone from walking side to side to running away from God. The relationship was fractured. Then it says, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. They were afraid of God. Their perfect understanding of who God was fractured. They were now afraid of God. They wouldn't even walk step by step. They were afraid, so they ran the other way. And then it says, and I was naked. They were always naked. Adam, you're always naked. It was just the image of who they were that was fractured. Three things simultaneously happened. And that's why the world we live in, and to a degree, even us now, or us before Jesus, we live with this fractured relationship with God, number one, that needs to be fixed. And then we live with a fractured perception of who God is and a fractured perception of who we are in this life. And the transformative, redemptive work of the Holy Spirit in us every day after we become saved is renewing us, yes, to relationship, but renewing your understanding of who God is and renewing your understanding of who you are. That knowledge, not, and I'm not talking an intellectual intelligence, knowing the facts or the numbers about this. It's a deep knowing on the inside of you who God is and who you are in Him. That knowing, that's what the Bible's saying, that knowing is transforming you into a different person. That knowing, a deeper knowing of who God is and who you are, will transform your life, will transform you, and will transform your year this year. Which is amazing. Anyone thankful for that? So how do we do it? If you want a new year, it calls for a new you. A new you calls for getting rid of the old and allowing the process, the degree by degree transformation of truly understanding who God is and who you are. And we do that with three things. Firstly, the Bible, the Word of God, the God-authored, God-breathed Word of God. If you want to know what God is like, if you want to know who He is, if you want to know what He says about your future, if you want to know what He thinks towards you, if you want to know what He has planned for you, what you can expect in life, what you can expect this year, pick up the Bible. It's in there. The promises of God, the Word of God will direct you, will show you like a mirror who you are and who God is. The Word of God is so important. That's the commitment we all need to make. I don't like using these terms sometimes, that we need as followers of Jesus this year to make a decision that I'm going to be in the Word each and every day, because it's important. Because if I'm not, I'm not going to know who God is. I'm not going to be growing in my knowledge of Him or knowledge of who I am. I love that I can talk to so many people in our church, and we've got incredible people that have been doing this Christian journey for so long, and they still say today, after maybe 40, 50 years of following Jesus, but that they're still in love with Jesus, that they're still figuring out and finding out more about who He is and who they are. I love that. So if I'm 26 years old, I've got a lot to learn, right? Every day we need to be in the Word of God and renewing our knowledge of who He is and who we are, if we really want ourselves to be a new person and if we really want to inhabit and walk into new things. The second thing is worship and prayer. You can do that on Sundays. You can do that tomorrow. Maybe it's in a morning on a lunch break. At a night time, maybe it's a time where you've got like one, just this is your one moment of complete silence by yourself if you have this really, you know, chaotic life, you know, with kids and stuff, which we're going to learn a lot about really soon. Whatever moment you can. It's simple. We don't need to jump through hoops. We just need to talk with God, walk with God, put some worship music on, sing to God, pray to God, just talk with Him, go for a walk along the water, whatever it is for you, wherever you find yourself drawing near to God, wherever you can get away from distraction, take that opportunity, because in those moments, God will speak to you. He speaks to us through His Word, and He'll speak to your heart, a small, still voice. You go, God, I'm going through this at the moment, or this is happening. What should I do? I need your help. God will speak to you. He'll speak to your heart. The Bible says that God's voice is a still, small voice. We can't have so much distraction and noise and all this stuff happening and expect to hear God. We've got to get away, wait upon the Lord, spend time in His presence through worship and prayer, and He will speak to you about who you are and who He is and what you can expect for your future. And the third thing, hitting this home again, is relationship. We should all have at least one person. And you know, in our church, we have things like groups and all that that make it so easy, actually so easy for us to get together and just do something we enjoy and then also get to know more about God and more about ourselves and be encouraged by one another. If you're not in a group yet this year, you need to be. And outside of that group, if you don't have people that you regularly can just bear all with and just speak your mind and be open with and share what's going on in your life, you need to do that this year, because it's stopping you from walking into who you're going to be. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in worship. And we need to be in relationship with each other. This new year is going to require a new you. Amen? And the new you means getting rid of the old, like these incredible people down the front coming and leaving the past behind. We can do that every day, every moment. There's always a fresh start with God, and we get rid of the old. We throw off the old. We walk into the new and appropriate this newness of life that God has for us. And we do that through the Bible, through worship, through prayer, and through relationship, through coming to church on Sunday night, like you guys are right here, right now. Anyone ready for a new year? Ready to make the commitment for a new you? One person was really keen on becoming a new you. Anyone keen on making the commitment to become a new you this year? God has it before you here tonight, a fresh start. And His grace is with you every day to walk in and appropriate that newness of life that He has for you.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.